morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, starting with the 24th verse. Jesus put before the crowds another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat, and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came in and said to him, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from?" He answered, "An enemy has done this." The slaves said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather them?" But he replied, "No, for in gathering the weeds you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at the harvest time, I will tell the reapers, collect the weeds first and bind them into bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn." Then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples approached him, saying, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field." He answered, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers, and they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone with ears listen." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. If any of you saw my Facebook post this week, this text was giving me some weeping and gnashing of my own teeth. I tell you what, that's a hard one. But we have an interesting reading again today. Last week we talked about planting the seeds, right? That the seeds were tossed far and wide. And now we have a parable about gardening in a different way. Now, most gardeners that I know are pretty attentive to getting rid of the weeds in their flower or vegetable gardens. Farmers, too. Now, as a teenager, I spent a bunch of time at my grandfather's farm walking the soybean fields and pulling out the weeds or with tools, getting all those weeds out. In fact, I knew all the weeds by name. I bet some of you do, too. Thistle, cocklebur, milkweed, mustard, and so many others. And the intention, of course, is that by getting rid of the weeds, that the plants that you've actually planted there will have a chance to grow and produce fruit. Getting rid of the weeds is just one step of many to making sure that there is a good harvest. Of course, there's no guarantee when it comes to gardening or harvesting. The gardener or the farmer does their best, and then has to finally trust that it will all work out in the end, that the harvest will be good. Of course, there's a lot that can go wrong, right? Bugs and rodents, rabbits and deer, hail and drought, damaging winds or flood, and then, of course, there are weeds. Now, my mother's approach to vegetable gardening when I was a kid, it seemed like she probably read this text from Matthew when she decided how to garden, because her approach to vegetable gardening was the all-natural approach, to let the weeds grow as high and as free as they wanted to. And her opinion was that the weeds would provide shade for the rest of the plants, so then they would not get dried out or sunburned. And I thought she was a little crazy, because none of the other moms had vegetable gardens like that. But at the time, she was a stay-at-home mother with three young children, and I think it was just a miracle that she even had a garden planted at all. But in the end, there was a harvest. We had cucumbers and tomatoes and green beans, rhubarb and raspberries, and there was plenty. My mother's avant-garde approach to vegetable garden also appeared again when she decided to plant a wildflower garden in the front of her house when Mom and Dad first moved to Cottage Grove. Now, Mom selected these wildflower seeds that were just so beautiful on the package, but she couldn't wait for them to bloom, right? And so she would call me and say, "Will you come over because there's a flower coming up and I don't know what it is." "Can you guess what it is?" she would say. And we would watch the flowers grow. And then she would call and say, "We thought that one would be purple, but it's pink." It was a surprise every week. Another time she called and said, "Will you come over and look at this flower? Because I have no idea what this is." Now, why she thought I would know, I have no idea. But she said, "Will you come over? It's growing taller and taller and taller, and there's no buds on it. There's no flowers. I have no idea what this thing is, so come on over." So Mom met me in the front yard, and she said, "Well, do you have any idea what it is?" I doubled over in laughter, with tears streaming down my face, and I said, "Well, I know exactly what it is. It's what you call cannabis. You know, marijuana. You know, weed." And she had this look of horror on her face. "How did that get here?" she said. And then she said, "How do you know what that is?" And I said, "Well, you know, I worked in Grandpa's farm. I know all the names of the weeds." She kind of nodded. "Yep. Well, what should we do?" she said. "Should we call the police?" Granted, there's one plant in the front yard standing about this tall. She was mortified. And by the way, at the time, she worked for Washington County Corrections Department. So she knew the police. Needless to say, that was one weed that we pulled right out, and we didn't look back. So who gets to decide what is a flower and what is a weed? Who decides what needs to be uprooted or what is allowed to be grown, to take root, and to flourish? And who decides when it's time for the harvest? Well, as the children said so eloquently, this is all up to the gardener, the one who plants and tills and fertilizes and cares for the garden. Now, in our lives, we are constantly bombarded with decisions, right? Some have small consequences, and others have huge and lasting consequences on ourselves and our neighbors, our livelihood, sometimes our survival. Who's to say what will come of the decisions that we make in our day-to-day lives? We do our best to make sure that the decisions we make are grounded in the wisdom of God, not grounded in the wisdom of this world. And yet, it's sometimes difficult to know when we have chosen wisely. We may never know until the harvest. We wrestle and we pray and we hope that our decision-making is solid. Yet we worry. Sometimes we wonder. We hope for the best. For you, it might be a decision about the care of a loved one who cannot speak for themselves. Or a decision about how long to remain at home and when to move to assisted living. Or a decision of when to intervene when a friend or family member is on a self-destructive path. Might be a decision about whether to take a job that provides more for your family or a job that allows you to have time with your family. It might be a choice about whether to stand up to an employer who's making unethical decisions at work. A choice whether to speak up or stay silent when you witness someone being taken advantage of or lied to, treated without respect. There might be a choice about whether to keep working on a broken relationship over and over and hoping for the best, or when to know to let go and hope that God will continue to heal. So many of the decisions that we make in our lives are wrapped up in the same kind of ambiguity. God plants seeds into this world and into our lives, and we plant seeds too. And we do our best to tend to all of those seeds that we plant. We know that God is at work around us and within us, but in the end, there are no guarantees. It's all in the hands of God. What initially looks like weeds may, in fact, be a beautiful addition to God's great landscape design for a very what might seem like a flower may very well be an invasive species that takes root in an intrusive way. Who's to say which are wheat and which are weeds? Only the gardener, the great creator God, who can make that judgment. And as Lutherans, we know that we are simultaneously 100% saint and sinner at the same time. That provides us with some humility, right? We know that we are a little bit weed, a little bit good seed. But we trust that the Creator has His hand in this. So pray with me about this together. Dear Lord, our lives are colored by ambiguity, and we don't always know the right or the best thing to do. But we do know that your love is guiding us and that you have called us to live as your people in the world. When we face hard choices, give us eyes to see the best path forward and the courage to follow it. When we make mistakes, forgive us. When we are hurt by our choices, comfort us. When we hurt others, help us to reach out to them in love. And above and beyond all these decisions, remind us that you still love us and call us back to this place that we may be forgiven and renewed, called and sent forth once more as your beloved children. In Jesus' name we pray.